I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Dr. Ramit Billen joins me now, the internationally recognized entrepreneur, learning architect, and humanitarian, has a new book out for children, Who Do I Want to Become? Illustrated with Michelle Clement, Dr. Billen gives us the character of Dylan, who is struggling with a class assignment that deals with a question of what one wants to be when they grow up. It's a question that confounds a lot of people, and as young Dylan canvasses his family and friends, he discovers something about himself and how to look at life that's wise and of value to him and to readers young and old. This new book is published by Page Two. Visit whodoiwanttobecome.com for more. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Ramit Billen. Dr. Billen, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So the title of the book is a good one, because it's not what one wants to become, but who. And I guess we lose sight of that, don't we?
We absolutely do. Even as adults, I think that we are still trying to figure out who it is that we want to become, and also the legacy that we want to leave and the impact that we want to have.
Yeah, and we're just so caught up, I guess, because everybody else is, that it really is character that needs to be built here, not a career, right?
I completely agree with that, and I think we focus so much on the what and the technical skills and kind of the hard skills that we forget about the transitional skills that we need, things like good communication, things like empathy, things like good listener, right? And so growing up, we're focused on the technical and hard skills that we forget about these skills that really define our characters and who it is that we are and who it is that we want to become.
So what kids want to do when they grow up, I mean, that's something that they all talked about. We talked about that when we were children. And I'm curious to know, in the book, when Dylan is asked that, he has a lot of trouble deciding what, and so he does what I guess all kids do who are inquisitive, asks the people around him and then comes up with his own answer, right?
That's exactly it, and he feels even more confused because the people around him already know what they want to be, and it creates a little bit of anxiety for him because he still doesn't know. And, you know, he asks himself the question, like, is something wrong with me because I don't know? Mm. And I think we put so much pressure on children that they should know what they want to be because they have to then choose certain courses that puts them on a certain track, and what they're going to do after high school, and so on and so forth. And so what we do is we look around us, and we see different opportunities around us, but that also limits the scope for children. If they're only exposed to certain experiences, that's going to shape what they decide they choose, but they could be limiting their possibilities. And I think even adults, we continue that language with each other. So
right.
When we meet someone new, we might say to them, you know, what do you do? Right? Versus, you know, what impact you want to have. We always focus on that what and that position title. So it starts off young, but it actually carries on into our adult age as we converse with each other. And we really need to start changing that dialogue. I think it's so critical so that we start focusing on the character piece versus that position title.
Yeah, and that contributes to, say, the rise of anxiety in society, and not to mention the rise of anxiousness amongst children. You know, well, one would assume it's because we live in anxious times, but I mean, as you just said, society is sort of programmed to go on that track.
That's exactly it. And that anxiety and also the expectations, right? The expectations that we put on ourselves, that I should be at a certain point in my career by a certain age, I should be making so much money, I should be doing X, I should be. And that carries on. And if we have those expectations of ourselves, that carries on within our homes, and our children feel that too. And they put expectations on themselves, right? And not to mention the expectations that are put on them by their peers, by the adults around them, by their teachers, and so on. And so we need to be very careful in how we converse, how we have this dialogue, and also what are we sharing in terms of expectations, and how is that then impacting ourselves as well as our children?
So children are really just small people, and they're wise and clever for themselves, and as you said, they pick up on these things, and so it's very important for, say, adults to comport themselves in a way that's positive for children. And as you just said, yeah, the anxiousness does rub off on them, if you will.
It does, and they're curious, right? Mm. They want to know, they want to explore, they want to go on an adventure, and, you know, if they fail, they try again, or they try something new, and we want to really embrace that versus this is what you have to do, or this is the direction that you have. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing what you want to be when you grow up. I know many people that say, like, when I was a kid, I knew I was going to be a teacher. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's more so for the children that don't yet know. It's not making them feel bad or putting this expectation on them, but it's saying, okay, well, what experiences can I expose my child to that can allow them to test whether or not they want to take this direction or something different? It's really broadening that scope, because then you broaden the scope of possibilities for them.
They are resilient too, and I think that's the other key thing that if you do.
And I think that's a beautiful thing that as adults can learn from.
if you broaden their experience, they'll be able to decide for themselves what they want, and when challenged, say, face those challenges appropriately.
That's exactly it, right? We protect our kids from failing. And what we're doing then is we're protecting them from learning, right? Learning what they might not want to do or what they might not like. And I think that's just as critical as knowing what it is that they do want to do.
Now, you're someone who's had a successful career in different fields. What worked for you in terms of did you have these challenges growing up in terms of deciding what to do, and then, because you seem to have overcome them, if you will?
That's such a great question. It's funny enough, in grade 6, I was asked for the yearbook, the grade 6 yearbook, we had to share what it is that we wanted to be, and just based on TV, I said lawyer. I actually didn't know what a lawyer did, but I said, okay, I'm going to be a lawyer, and that's what was included in my yearbook. And then 2 years later, when we were deciding on courses for high school, I spoke with my guidance counselor, and my guidance counselor said, you know, you like working with people, you should get into human resource management. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get into human resource management, here I go, right? And I felt good that, okay, I know what I'm going to do, but I didn't end up doing either of those professions. I mean, there's elements of what I do that relate to being a lawyer and an HR professional, but it didn't transpire that way. And one of the best pieces of advice that I ever received from a mentor was, your career is not going to be a linear path. And I think that's so true, especially for kids today. Long gone are the days where you go to one organization and you stay there your entire life, right? Mm-hmm. That was more common before.
Right.
And so I think this idea of flexibility is so important. And within my career, one thing always led to something else, which led to something else. And what really worked for me is honestly just exposing myself to different experiences. Some things didn't work so well. And so you say, okay, this isn't working for me, so I need to move on to something else, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really not just trial and error, but saying, okay, what sort of things do I want to explore and what works for me at this moment in my life? Things I was doing in my 20s aren't going to work for me right now because I have a family and it's not as easy to get up and go and fly to Kenya, right?
Yeah.
So circumstance matters, and understanding that one thing can lead to another, and it's okay to be flexible and adaptable, and actually that's what's needed.
And when you are flexible and adaptable, you find eventually, with some work and endeavor, that you can do what you love, and I guess that's what we all want, right?
Yes, and I stay away from the term passion, mm-hmm. because passion.
Right.
So oftentimes we're told to follow our passion, which is good advice, but what happens if my passion changes three weeks from now because I've done something different?
Yeah.
And when we say doing what you love, I actually connect that to legacy and impact, right? Thinking about what impact do I want to make, what legacy do I want to leave? And, you know, if you don't find that in your work, that's okay. We all have bills to pay. It's not to say that we need to quit our jobs, but if we truly think about impact and legacy, we need to then incorporate it in different parts of our lives, right? That's really about living our legacy.
And I guess one of your legacies that you can look back on later on is this book. And I mean, being able to write a book like this, I mean, was that, say, a goal of yours early on? Or?
Well, you know, for years, a number of people had asked me to write a book. They said, you have to write a book. And I was very hesitant because I thought, you know, everybody's writing a book. And I don't really have much more to say. You hear what I have to say in my talks. And so I had a child 2 years ago, and when I was reading him picture books, I thought, you know, I could do this. If I'm going to write a book, I want to write a picture book because the message I want to give is for children. Mm-hmm. And this is a message that I've been working on for the past 5 years, especially after my time abroad with building schools and meeting children in different parts of the world. And so this idea of writing a book didn't resonate with me, but then this idea of writing a children's book or a picture book that's meant for both children and adults really resonated with me. And I thought, this is the best medium for me to choose in order to deliver the message that's important. Because I didn't want to write a book just to write a book. It had to be meaningful. It had to be purposeful. And this message is so important that this is why I went this route. And it has been a goal of mine to be able to deliver this message. And this is just the vehicle that I was able to do it through.
And then for young people to hear this early on, I mean, this does have an impact on impressionable minds, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I had a colleague who bought the book for her 8-year-old son. The 8-year-old son brought it to school, and the teacher had written a note back to my colleague. My colleague shared the picture with me. And then the teacher asked if she could keep the book for a couple of weeks to share with her students so that they can learn about persuasive writing and really look at that in terms of giving off messages. And I thought that was so powerful, right? And so I think children reading this can actually use their imagination to say, oh, that's right, I don't have to decide on, you know, a doctor, a firefighter, a police officer, or this or that. It's more so who I want to be. I was at an event a couple weeks ago with the book doing a reading for 100 Scarborough families in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And one of the children, I was speaking with him, and I said, you know, so who do you want to be? And he said, I want to be a police officer. And I said, well, why do you want to be a police officer? And he said, because I want to save lives. And I turned to him and I said, that's who you want to be. Always remember that.
Mm.
It's not the idea of police officer. That's great. That's a great direction. But who he wants to be is someone that saves lives. And when we look at it from that perspective, there's so many different professions out there
right.
that will allow him to do that.
Yeah. And it's really that's the essence of the book. And my reading of it is that you do want to think about as you said a moment ago, the legacy that you want to leave. You do make a difference when you think about these things because you lead, say, a more purposeful but better life every day, don't you?
That's exactly it. It's meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. What's advice that you'd give, say, an adult in terms of someone listening to us, say, who might go through life day to day, trying just to get by, trying to get through the end of the day, but really needs to pay heed to that idea of doing something meaningful for someone else or leaving that that important legacy, say?
I think that's such a critical question because I think many of us are just trying to survive.
Right.
Right? We're just trying to get through the day. And it's not to say that we need to completely change our lives, but it's to start thinking about, okay, what impact do I want to make and what can I do in my day-to-day in order to do that? And it could be the smallest thing. It could be something that takes 2 minutes or 1 minute or something during the week. I was working with someone and she really cared about animals and she was working in a veterinarian clinic, but she wasn't able to support her family, so she switched her role and she was a bookkeeper, but she was working from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And when we were talking about this idea of self-actualization and meaning and purpose, she was missing that from her life, but she was able to support her family. So one of the strategies that we came up with was that she would take her family once a week, and once a week on the weekend, they would all volunteer at the animal shelter close by. And so she wasn't taking time away from her family, but she was integrating just 1 hour a week in doing something that was meaningful to her. And so it's not this idea that we need to completely shift our shift gears and shift our job.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, how can I put more meaning into my life, whether that's daily, whether that's weekly or monthly? But the first step is identifying, where is it that I find meaning and purpose? Where is it that I want to leave an impact? What puts me in a positive emotional state? And then we go from there with small tweaks and small adjustments because that 1 hour is more than the 0 hours that she was doing.
Right. The book is beautifully designed and illustrated. Did you work closely with Michelle Clement in terms of how this book was put together, say?
I did, and Michelle was fantastic. I've in person met Michelle before, but she was so great and provided so many insights. And every time I go through the book, I always see something new in right. the detail that she has. And just one example is you see the dogs throughout the book, uh-huh. and just the dogs' expressions are my favorite. It's so incredibly done, and she is just such a genius at what she does. It was such a pleasure to work with her on this.
I just noticed, flipping through it, the dog was at the school looking yes. through the window, which I hadn't noticed before.
Yes, you'll see the dog throughout. She does a really good job with all of the characters, actually. And we made sure that there were diverse characters included in the book. We
right.
wanted to represent diversity. We have a gender-neutral character in the book, Cousin Jamie. And all of these things were quite intentional when we put it together because we want the book to be relatable and accessible. And the book is also available in French as well as Spanish, and we are working on a copy in Braille.
Really, yeah. Ramit, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you were younger?
Oh, wow. What do I know now that I wish I knew when I was younger? That it all works out.
Yeah.
Maybe not as you plan it,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. You're exactly where you're meant to be.
And I think that's marvelous insight and advice for all of us. I think, we do get through it, don't we?
We do. We're yeah. resilient, just like kids.
Yeah, indeed. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. This is such an enjoyable book, as I said, because you do get a lot of wisdom in it that you wouldn't otherwise think you'd get from a children's book. But if I can get something out of it, I'm sure the kids will get a myriad of things, and I think that's a marvelous service you've done.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that.
Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Visit whodoiwanttobecome.com. The book is called Who Do I Want to Become? Page 2 is its publisher, its author, Ramit Billen. Join me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.